production. So the ninth bonus episode, I kind of came along something and realized what was happening about three episodes in and realized it would continue to happen, but I didn't want to tell you until the end. And yesterday I threw out a challenge. I said, you know, email me if you think you know what the word is that will explain what I'm going to talk about, you know, tomorrow, which is now today. And it's a permaculture principle. And some of you guys sent me words like ecosystem and diversity and a few other words that weren't principles. This was a principle, a design principle. A design principle is something that applies across the board. So whenever we're designing anything, we can go back to a principle and say, how would we apply that principle with this design? And with permaculture, generally, we're designing ecosystems. Well, business is a lot like an ecosystem, if you think about it, especially if you want to be a sustainable business. One guy sent that. That's also it's more of a thing that people are trying to get done or create. It's not a design principle. We design to create sustainable systems, but we don't have sustainability as a principle of design. The word is stacking. And if you go to the source of all this permaculture stuff, Bill Mollison, and you read his 34 principles, and I tried to help some of you guys that gave me the wrong answer. I gave you the page where you could find this, and you could read the 34 principles and pick one, and none of you got back to me after I did that. So nobody won. I'm sad that nobody won, but I feel kind of cool that I know I'm teaching you if nobody knew the answer, right? So stacking is multi-level functions for a single element, stacking functions. Multi-level garden design, i.e. trellising, forest garden, vines, ground covers, etc., putting a whole bunch of stuff together in one place that all has different functions, and those functions have functional relationships to each other, like a corn plant growing nice and tall and straight and planting a bean that will climb up the corn plant would be one of them. And you might think, that doesn't sound like business cultivation unless you're a farmer. But, you know, if you think about it, especially a small business person, we need to be expert stackers. We have to be expert stackers. We can't get things done. In my business, I produce content, I edit content, I plan the production of content, I market the content, I edit the content, I develop the content, I do tech support, email response, I reach out and find guests. I do have my wife help me with that a little bit now, but I did that all on my own at first. I screen my calls, I screen my emails, right? You see what I'm saying? When I say screen, I'm talking about stuff that gets used on the show versus the day-to-day emails. And there's a lot of other things that I have to do. I have to keep track of the finances. So I'm stacking a tremendous number of functions into a single person. That's stacking, right? Because in a bigger business, there'd be somebody that pretty much did all of those things as a single job. But yet I do them all for myself. There's, you know, when I went on the Glenn Beck show, one of the guys that was one of the producers there said, how the hell do you do this every day by yourself? How is it, you know, because he actually had looked at some of what I was doing. And he goes, I know it's only audio and you don't have to worry about all the stuff with video, but my God, the diversity of what you're covering, the accuracy, the quality, the duration. He says, it's amazing that one person does this. And to me, it's really not that big a deal because I didn't know anything else when I started doing it. If I want it to be a show, I got to do it. So I've stacked those functions. Well, how this applies to the capital, if you noticed, we would start talking about something like spiritual capital, and then the next day we would talk about social capital, and all of a sudden they started to sound like the same thing, because each one of those capital concepts exists, and it does have value, and that's what makes a capital in the first place, but a lot of the functions of that capital overlap, and they're stacked. And if we're really wanting to build our business and like blow away things, just blow it up, then we need to stack the functions of capital to a common end. So one of the things that we might want out of a business is we might want more customers, more reach. Whether it's customers, people that pay attention to us, readers on a blog, listeners to a podcast, we want more of them. More is better. More is definitely better than less because more means more financial capital. So we need to stack the functions of things like experiential capital, spiritual capital, and social capital to the end of acquiring more customers or subscribers or listeners. And if we think about it, it kind of happens naturally. The whole point of the eight principles of capital that I'm doing with you isn't so you can go, oh, now I have them. No, you've always had them. It's just you maybe not aware of them. And if you're not aware of them, then you can't put them to their duties. You can't see to them performing the functions that are designed to function. You may not even be aware of, you know, might be aware of things like social capital and say, yeah, that's pretty obvious, but were you aware of the spiritual capital? And then understanding the stacking of the functions, that's when we talked about spiritual capital. We said the business itself has a spirit. with the community capital, right? It has the community itself has its own life force, and therefore it has its own spirit in a way. So the community itself possesses spiritual capital. So what we thought was a single form of capital, community capital, the value of the community, right? Actually, the community itself has a spiritual component to its capital. And the community itself has social capital. The community itself has financial capital. That doesn't mean they're going to give it all to you, but that means that as the person that is a major force in the community, you can sometimes direct that financial capital to other means, like good causes. Sometimes you can direct that financial capital within that community that has its own spirit in the form of spending, sometimes simply because you know something's a really good thing, so you tell people about it, and then they can put it in their lives, and they associate you with that good recommendation. And sometimes you're paid for it with financial capital. We call that sponsorship. You see, all of these forms of capital are just immensely interconnected with each other, and the functions that they perform are infinitely stackable on top of each other. So when I started this, I read off the entire list to you the first time, and it probably caused you to think a certain way. Now that you understand stacking of functions and stacking of relationship, and now that you've heard the eight forms of capital explained, I just want to go through them again real quick, and you just listen to each one, and I'm going to pause a second or two in between each one and think about what it means to you now. Intellectual capital. Spiritual capital, social capital, material capital, financial capital, living capital, cultural capital, experiential capital. Hopefully they mean more to you now than they did before. Hopefully they have a dynamic interrelationship that transgresses your entire business mind now. And if you can take stacking and apply stacking to the forms of capital, you've got something really dynamic. I actually think that as we've done this, I've discovered yet another way to completely develop and manage a business. It's something that's actually never been done before. And I think if it's done right, it's an incredible asset that the business has to sell itself to its customer base. And I mean a big company. I'm talking an oil exploration company. You might think, oil exploration, that can't possibly be permaculture. It can if they do it right, okay? Maybe they can even, you know, have customers that pay more for what they do so that they can do it right, so they can market themselves that way. A bank, an auto manufacturing corporation. I'm talking multi-billion dollar businesses could use this. Because could you see going in and do a major presentation to a prospective client or partner and be able to say, I'd like to explain for you how we utilize eight different forms of capital in our business to grow and expand our business, improve the communities that we work in, improve the lives of our customers, improve the lives of our employees, and how we're constantly cultivating all eight forms of capital. They are bam, 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 and then use the pieces that you've just heard. How many investors do you think would really be attracted to a major corporation taking this approach? See, there's a lot of people, they want to change the way that major corporations do business by going exactly and doing the opposite of what permaculture teaches us. Permaculture teaches us that any system, anything, any person, or any being, any plant, any animal has existing functions and energies, and it's going to do what it does, right? You don't stop a chicken from scratching. You put a chicken in a place where scratching is beneficial. Corporations, and we don't go to war with nature, we work with nature. That's that same principle applied, right? Okay, so major corporations exist to make money. You don't change their behavior by taxing them and limiting what they can do. You change their behavior by saying, look, this will make you lots of money. Lots and lots and lots of money. And it's really cool, too. That's how you get corporations to change practices that are damaging and harmful to people or to the planet. Because there's a lot of corporations that aren't really hurting the earth, but they're harming people. They're abusive in the way that they view their human capital. They're abusive in the way that they deal with their customers. They don't listen. Or they say, we want to hear what you have to say, but they don't give a shit. If you give a shit, you listen all the time. When you give a shit, you don't say, what's the return of investment on a Facebook fan? You see it as a relationship, and it's critical. Every single one of those are critical when you value people, when you don't want to harm people. Right? And most businesses really don't want to harm the planet. They just do. Because they don't know that there's another way to do things. Well, if we start focusing on these fundamental forms of capital, a small business person can become very, very successful. A major corporation can be even more successful. If it works on small scale, it scales up. That's a scale model approach. But the reality is that most of them are too stupid to do this yet. And that's, and again, that's great. Because that means you can. Because you don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to go to your shareholders and say, we want to kind of focus on developing our cultural, experiential, intellectual, and spiritual capital and have them all look at you like you're a dumbass and say, how does that get us a better dividend? When you can actually explain it, but are they ready to listen yet? If you want a bigger dividend out of your company, which is a bigger cash flow for you, because you probably don't have a corporation that pays dividends, you're probably a, you know, one- or two-man operation, most of the people that listen to this anyway, then this is what you need to be doing. And you can start right now. And you just need to think once in a while, just stop. You know, go buy the article or re-listen to this series. And just say to yourself, how am I working to expand my experiential capital today? And how can I leverage the experience I already have? How am I expanding my cultural, my living, and my financial capital right now? What material capital do we possess? What material capital would be beneficial for us to eventually possess? What's our social and spiritual capital quotient like right now? How can we expand that? How can we leverage that? How can we leverage it so that it pays dividends today, but also becomes greater? See, this is the beauty of a lot of these forms of capital. The thing about financial capital is a lot of times when you use it, it's gone. Now, we can put it to work and reinvest it in certain ways and leverage it, and that works. But basically, if I spend financial capital, it's gone. But if I spend social capital, spiritual capital, or intellectual capital, or experiential capital, or cultural capital, if I spend living capital, if I spend anything other than financial or material capital, I can spend as much of it as I want, and as long as I do it right, I have more of it when I'm done than when I started. That's why those six forms of capital are actually more powerful than financial and material capital, and they have the greatest force of leverage to be used to acquire financial and material capital, because we can stack their functions. So the word, folks, was stacking. So get busy developing those capital quotients, get busy asking yourself, get busy thinking about it, and get busy stacking functions of capital, your functions in your business. Anytime you do anything with your business, figure out how you can stack it. Here's one more example of stacking. I use a plugin from WordPress that when I publish a post, automatically creates a bit.ly link, a short link with it, and then inserts that into a Twitter post and posts it to Twitter. Then I can just go by Twitter, grab that, and drop it into Facebook manually because I didn't like automating Facebook. I wasn't quite comfortable with it, but a lot of the work was done for me there. Then that same blog post on its RSS feed eventually pings my email service and emails all my list subscribers. One function or one action, multiple functions, that's stacking. So think about stacking technology, stacking capitals, stacking performance, stacking everything you can to get as much functionality and leverage out of your business as possible. With that, this has been Jack Spirko with another episode of 5 Minutes with Jack. And this wraps up the Permaculture Capital series. I'll be coming back to you next time with something equally cool, but this time totally different. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of 5 Minutes with Jack. To learn more, connect with our community, and get free resources to build your business, visit jackspirko.com.